Good morning. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Let's read the first 8 verses of Psalm 116. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. And our text will come from verse 7. The title of the message comes here from verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Let's look at these 8 verses together this morning. Again, beginning with verse 1. David says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. I love the Lord. May Almighty God give us grace to say this from the heart, without any hesitation. I love the Lord. We're commanded to love the Lord. Is there any greater evidence of salvation than love? In John 13, our Lord said this. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. What's the first command? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Turn with me to John chapter 8. What our Lord said here in John chapter 8. Look at verse 42. Jesus said unto them, he said, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came forth from God, neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. Our Lord speaking to those religious Jews. They were bragging about being Abraham's seed. They said, we have one Father. And our Lord spoke to them. He said, if truly God were your Father, you would love me. And over in the book of John, our Lord said this. Remember, he asked Peter. What did he ask him? He said, lovest thou me? He asked him that 3 times. Peter said this, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love thee. Not because of a command, not because of a of a law, but as a result of grace in the heart. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Isn't that what the scriptures declare? Isn't that what we read in God's word? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 25. We're instructed. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. How much? How much is a man to love his wife? He said, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And back to our text here in Psalm 116. I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. You know, over and over in the scriptures, we hear men cry unto the Lord. And what do we see? That he hears our cry. That he hears the cry of his people. I was thinking, I remember when our boys, Abby and I's boys, were young. And it always amazed me. I could always hear their cry. I could always hear their cry. But boy, Abby knew what that cry was. She truly heard their cry. Sometimes it was a dirty diaper. Sometimes it was they needed a bottle. Sometimes they just needed to be held. But she truly heard their cry. And Almighty God, we read, he hears the cry of his people. He knows our needs before we even ask. We read in God's word, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. In my distress, I called, and he heard me. I cried by reason of mine affliction, and he heard me. David said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice, and he's heard my supplication. Verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call unto him as long as I live. Spurgeon said this. He said he bows down from his grandeur to attend unto my prayer, to hear the prayer of his people. Like a loving friend leaning over a sick man whose voice is faint and can be barely heard, so as to catch every whisper. All he hears our prayer. He hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live, all the days of my life. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll cry continually unto him. Look at verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice evermore. Pray. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We should continually be in prayer to our God. Back to our text, look at verse 3. David said, the sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. This world we live, isn't it much trouble and much sorrow? And this word sorrow here, it has several different meanings. One is like a creditor who ties down their debtor and binds them so that they can never be free. Like those old company stores where they would issue that script and those miners, They'd go down to the store and they'd buy things and they'd pay for it. They had plenty of money. But that debt was never paid, wasn't it? It was never paid. Continually work. And isn't that what sin does to us? Isn't that what the law does to us? We're continually bound by it. There's no getting out of it. It's like a ship that's anchored and tied down on all sides. That ship's not going anywhere. It's surrounded by water. And then listen, it's like the pain of a woman at childbirth. A sorrow that cannot be escaped. The sorrows of death compassed me. They surrounded me. Completely surrounded by them. The pains of hell got hold upon me. The grave. There's no escaping death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And David goes on in his text, he says again, I found trouble and sorrow. The scriptures say that the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for we're soon cut off, and we fly away. David says here, sorrow and death compassed me. Everywhere I look, he said, it surrounded me. What am I to do? That sounds like a pretty hopeless situation, doesn't it? Look at verse 4. He said, then called I upon the name of the Lord. I called upon him. I called upon the name of the Lord. Consider his name. Consider what the scriptures declare. Consider what God's word says about his name. His name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is the Mighty God. He's the Lord our healer. The Lord our banner, our refuge. The Lord who is present. The Lord our righteousness. The Lord our peace. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He's the Lord my shepherd. Throughout the scriptures, his name is declared. He said, I'll call upon the name of the Lord. And he said, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Oh, we need deliverance, don't we? We need deliverance. Now listen, he's not calling on some man named Jesus. He's not calling on a personal savior. He said, I called upon the name of the Lord. Master, the Lord our Savior. And this was his request. This was his prayer. Deliver my soul. That can also be another way of saying that is save me. Lord, save me. That was Peter's cry, wasn't it? Remember when he was out there trying to walk on the water and it began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached out his hand, took him by the hand. Lord, save me. The scriptures declare, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Turn to Job 33. Job 33. Job 33. Look beginning with verse 13. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword. He's chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yet his soul draweth near to the grave, his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and he saith, deliver him. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Save me. And then back here in our text, look at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord. That's our hope. Gracious is the Lord. Righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. He's gracious. He's righteous. He's merciful. Gracious in his hearing. Righteous in his judging. And he's merciful in pardoning our sin. Over in the book of Micah, we read this. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. God passed before Moses there in Exodus 34. Turn there to Exodus 34 with me, to the book of Exodus. Look at verse 6, beginning with verse 6. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. Oh, he's gracious. He's righteous. He's merciful. And listen to verse 6 of our text. You're back again in Psalm 116. The Lord. Huh? The Lord that's gracious and righteous and merciful. He preserveth the simple. Well, that describes us, doesn't it? Huh? Isn't that a pretty good description of us? Truth is, we don't know much, do we? Huh? He preserveth the simple. The simple, those that depend completely upon him. Our Lord in Matthew 11, he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things. Who'd he hide them from? He said, you've hid them from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes. He preserveth the simple. He watches over us. He keeps us from sin, keeps us from falling away by his Spirit, by his power, by his grace. David said, I was brought low, and he helped me. Is there ever a time we need more help than when we're brought low? When we're brought, he brings us to the dust. He brings us low. We have to be brought low. Over in Luke 10, there was a certain man that had traveled down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And they stripped him of his raiment, and they wounded him. And they departed him there, leaving him half dead. Boy, that man was brought low, wasn't he? Huh? And apart from that Samaritan passing by, remember that? He came where he was. We read he came where he was. He saw him. He had compassion on him. He went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and he poured in wine and oil. We've been brought low, haven't we? God's people have been brought low. But listen, we're not half dead. were completely dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. But listen, what do we read here? He says, Dave said, he helped me. Oh, he helped me. He didn't pass us by. Oh, he could have. Huh? Couldn't he? God's sovereign. It's his right to do what he will, with whom he will. He could have just as easily passed us by. And he'd been just in doing so. But he didn't pass us by. He supplies every need. Every need. All to the praise and the glory of his grace. I was brought low, and he helped me. He saved me. He delivered me. Look at verse 7 of Psalm 116. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. In a time of trouble, in a time of sorrow, in a time of pain, being reminded, don't we constantly need to be reminded? How quickly we forget of his graciousness, of his righteousness, of his mercy, of his deliverance to his people. And David said, I'll return unto thy rest. There's only one true resting place. Paul, I won't have you turn there, but Paul over in Acts, remember that perilous voyage he was on? And he said this. He said, when neither sun nor star nor in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay among us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Oh, he was compassed about, wasn't he? He was surrounded by that storm and darkness. And he said all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But Paul stood before them and he said, in the midst of that, in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of that trouble, he said this, he said that. He said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Huh? There's going to be no loss of any man's life on this ship. Huh? There stood by, Paul, how can you say that? How can you say that with such confidence? In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of all this trouble and sorrow, he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. That can only be Christ. He said, whose I am and whom I serve. And Paul's going to be brought before, he has to be brought before Caesar. And he said this, God hath given them all that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Oh, be of good cheer. Because it's going to be, he said, I believe God. It's going to be even as it was told me. God's going to deliver those men. And you know the rest of that story. Every last one of them was delivered, safe to land. Oh, he helped me. He saved me. He delivered me. Over and over we see that in the Scripture. Return to thy rest. Huh? Where is our resting place? It's Christ. We rest in him. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis 8, look beginning with verse 6. It came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. Look at verse 9. But the dove found no rest. No rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And then he put forth his hand and he took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. The first thing I'd have us to see here is this. that dove found no rest. The dove found no rest. On her own, on our own, in this world, we'll find no rest, no true rest, no lasting rest, no comfort. Adam departed from God. He sinned against God. And then he ran and hid. He departed, didn't he? They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from, they tried to hide themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees in the garden. In Luke chapter 15, hold your place there in Genesis, but turn to Luke 15. Luke 15, beginning with verse 11. Our Lord said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave to him. That young man, he took what was his. He took what his father gave him, and he departed his father's house. He departed. He left. And what did he find? He found no rest, did he? He found no rest. No rest in this world, no rest in his work, no rest in that man he was working for. Work, work, work. No rest. We find no rest in our works. Those that would be saved by their works. I would ask this question. When's it enough? Huh? How about self-righteousness? When are you righteous? We're never righteous enough. Huh? We have to be made absolutely perfect in the eyes of God. There's only one way, and that's to be found in Christ. No true rest in anything short of Christ. Well, second, that dove departed, but second, we read the dove returned. There in Genesis 8, verse 9, the dove returned. You know, we're described in God's word as sheep that have gone astray. We've departed, haven't we? In 1 Peter 2, don't turn there. Ye were as sheep going astray, but you're now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Huh? We've wandered far from the fold, haven't we? What's the return to Christ? Return to Him. The dove returned to Noah when she seen there was no place to go. Huh? Don't we have to be brought to that point? Don't we have to be brought low to the point where there's no other refuge? Huh? The hymn writer wrote that, "Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee." Christ and Christ alone. That prodigal we read about earlier, he said this. After he had wasted away all that he had, he was, I don't know if he was laying in the barn or out there in the field or where he was. He was chewing on a corn husk, sitting there eating a husk of corn. And he said this. He said, "I'll arise and I'll go to my father. I will return to him. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm not worthy to be called a son. Just make me a servant in your house." He returned to his father. And his father saw him a long way off, didn't he? Huh? The Lord Jesus Christ, he asked his disciples, he said, "Will you go away? Go only to him. Go only to him. Return to him. Return to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Third, Genesis 8, verse 9, Noah put forth his hand, and he took her, and he pulled her in unto himself. We're bound up in the bundle of life. Remember Abigail said this to David. She said, "A man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord." David, your soul shall be bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies he'll sling out like the middle of a sling. Huh? We're bound up in him. Noah put forth his hand, and he brought her into himself. Our Lord said this. He said, no man, we're bound up in his hand, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Eternally secure in him. Remember that prodigal son when he returned? When his father was there waiting on him? Huh? His father, he put a robe on him. Clothed him. We're clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put a ring on his finger. He put shoes on his feet. He slew a calf. He received him with gladness, with joy unspeakable. Return to him. Aren't we thankful in God's word? He says this, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He receives us unto himself. But you still have Genesis 8, verse 9. That dove departed, but found no rest. The dove returned. Noah put forth his hand, and he received it. He brought it in to himself, close to his side. And then listen, he brought it into the ark. You've heard this over and over again. But let me ask you, in the days of Noah, where was the one place of safety? Where was the one refuge? The only refuge, the only place of rest. It was the ark, that ark that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside that ark, all the waves, the wind, the water, God's wrath beat against that ship. On the outside, there was nothing to be found but death and destruction. God's wrath against man, God's wrath against sin. Sin must be punished. But inside the ark, inside that ark was peace, rest, safety, joy. And in Christ, we have deliverance. We have safety. We have rest. Every need provided, safe and secure in him. He that cannot fail, none for whom he died will ever perish. Now turn with me back to Psalm 116. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Verse 8. For thou, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord. Thou hast delivered. Thou hast delivered. It's done. It's finished. Thou hast delivered. Thou hast, that means he saved me. That word delivered, it means saved. It means rescued. Huh? Thou hast delivered my soul from death. This body's going to die, but he said, you've delivered my soul from death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He died in our place. He was made sin. That's what the scriptures declare. He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Thou hast delivered mine eyes from tears. In the book of Revelation, John said this. He said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. He's delivered mine eyes from tears. And then listen, he said, thou, the Lord hast delivered my feet from falling. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He keeps us from falling. Well, that's the rest in God's word for the seeking soul. Christ and Christ alone. We rest, listen, in what he has done. Isn't that what thou hast delivered? Lindsay, you read that earlier. Salvation is of the Lord. We rest in him and him alone. Come to him. Rest in him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul.